We do not claim any rights to any audio clips taken from other media used in our podcast.
These belong to the studios and creators that made the characters and stories portrayed in the clip, and we have only used these clips for entertainment and reference purposes.
All right, so I just want to remind everybody, we have that theme song contest going on. There are some secret prizes that you are not telling you guys about yet.
Some cool merch.
Really fun stuff that we're creating for you. Send in your 10 to 30 second submissions to be our new theme song, potentially.
Yes.
Send it to backtothepeachpit@gmail.com.
The number two, not the word two.
There you go. Can't wait to hear them all.
Can't wait to hear it. I believe in you.
There was a question mark after that. Hey there, everyone. This is Rebecca. I'm the mom.
And I'm her daughter, Hannibal.
Well, it has been a fat minute again since we've been here.
Yes.
We did actually record a tiny little Merry Christmas segment.
We forgot about it.
Well, it wasn't just that. I got so busy with Christmas everything. I never had the time to edit it and publish it.
You did host like four separate gatherings for Christmas
in
at
a
your
week.
House. In the span of a week.
Yeah. It was...
And you cleaned up after each one.
Oh, exhausting.
Oof.
It was fun, but exhausting. So, quick life update. I am no longer at the job that I was at before.
Neither am I.
Yeah, we both are now unemployed.
For the time being.
So, my job, I loved it. It just was no longer a good fit for me. And my sinuses have been very thankful.
Yeah.
It's been almost a month that I've been gone from there now.
Wait. You mean someone who was... very allergic to cats shouldn't work in a vet's office?
I'm beginning to think that. Guys, I can actually breathe.
Hey.
In and out both nostrils.
Wow.
What crazy talk. And then shortly after I was no longer at that job, you chose to leave your job too.
Yes, I was just getting to the point where I no longer was enjoying what I was doing in the way that I used to. And I felt like I cared about the kids I worked with too much to do that job halfway. And so I realized that I needed to find something else for me to do.
Yep. So we are both working on our mental health. Therefore, hello, here we are.
We will hopefully be able to be a little bit more consistent now.
I think we will be now that Christmas is done. We're not working. And when we do get jobs, we're both looking at something a little less stressful.
A little more part-time.
Yeah, part-time. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
We're hoping to get caught up. My dream, guys, so I know we're a little behind of our schedule to have our final exam for season one the end of January, but my dream, while we are both working less, is to maybe do a couple a week and still do.
Ooh.
I know. We might get caught up.
We can catch up. Honestly, we don't have that many left.
No, we don't. So we've had a lot of fun watching them. And we're only one episode ahead watching.
Yes. So I have technically watched the next episode after today's.
I have to tell you guys something funny about that. When you hear her reaction to the teaser at the end, that is a true reaction. I wanted to watch the next episode with her, but neither one were in the mindset to record. So before we watched it, I played the teaser for her and recorded her reaction. So that we could watch it right away before we recorded this full episode.
Oh, yeah. Because I feel like those reactions mean the most when they are genuine. And I didn't want to give a fake reaction.
Yeah. And it was a good one, guys. You'll find out when we get to it.
If you're familiar with what the next episode is, you'll understand why I had a very severe reaction to the clip.
It was a severely severe reaction. It was great. It was great. So... if you are on TikTok, make sure to go check us out there.
Yes.
Only the first couple videos had anything to do with podcast stuff. Since then, it's just been us and our life.
And I kind of like it that way. It's kind of fun.
Yeah. We might still sprinkle in once in a while, one episode here and there, just to be like, hey, guys, this is what we're doing. And the rest of the time, let's see, there's stuff about the cold and about the dog and about the dog in the cold and us in the cold. And
yeah.
We're in Montana, guys. It's cold.
It's cold here right now. It was like 7 degrees yesterday.
Yeah. Monday, the high was 0.
Yep.
And that's Fahrenheit, dudes. We're in America.
Merca.
Merca. Pardon me while I gag on that. But the feels like high on Monday was like -5.
There's a very good reason I did not leave my house on Monday.
Same.
Yeah.
It was great. So we've been having a little bit of fun with that. So if you're on TikTok, go check us out. I'm sure this will surprise you, but our handle on there is Back to the Peach Pit.
The number, not the word.
What? No.
I know. It's like, hey, we are consistent about what we go by at the
very least. We are. So we would love for you guys to follow us on there and help, you know, explore our crazy side.
Yeah.
Alrighty. So.
Shall we get started here, Bob?
We should. Today we are discussing season 2, episode 24, The Pit and the Pendulum. The writer on this one was, I don't have to read my own handwriting, hold on. Larry Barber and Paul Barber. I did not look up to see if they're related. I'm assuming they are.
The Barber Boys.
The Barber Boys. But I did put a note in my, and I put a note in my notes.
Yep.
I made a note here saying that this is the only 90210 episode that they ever wrote.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I really did enjoy this one a lot.
It was an odd one, but I enjoyed it too.
Yeah. It felt like it could have been made like a movie script.
True.
It was, had that, like that same kind of plot points that mm-hmm. usually drive a movie.
Absolutely.
Oh yeah.
Hey, Hannibal, let's hear that Back to the Peach Pit description, please.
All right. Brenda and Brandon get recruited to help Jim promote a building project for a major client. However, the area that the project is supposed to be built at is the block that the Peach Pit is on. So the twins must face a moral dilemma of helping their father or helping Nat to fight for the Peach Pit.
A little bit spoilery, but good.
A little bit. I did actually struggle a little bit with making the description just because there's so much that happens in the episode. It was really hard to write anything in any kind of a description of it without spoiling something.
Yeah, I can see that. It would be really tough. Mm-hmm. That's why I'm glad that you get to do that task.
Yay.
All right, so the episode opens up at the Peach Pit, and it's just scanning over all the old famous people pictures on the wall. And Nat's standing there staring longingly at them. It's very...
nostalgic.
It's very nostalgic right at the get-go.
Oh, yeah.
Steve, Dylan, and Brandon are playing countertop hockey.
They have, like, kind of a couple of, like, the mugs and, like, one of the plastic bowls or something from, like,
the apple... Yeah, the little saucer or something.
Yeah, the, like, saucer for the side dishes. Yes. And they're, like, batting it back and forth across the
like
counter.
Like, it's an air hockey table with no air, but it's the countertop.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Nat is very, very frustrated at them. Understandably so, to be quite honest.
Understandable.
I would be a little angry at them myself, like, guys, you're breaking my stuff.
But they weren't actually breaking anything, and it does, they seem comfortable enough there that I imagine this isn't the first time they've done this.
But Nat also seems very grouchy, very cranky.
Especially on edge.
Yes.
I would say.
Nat, before I forget, we're almost out of mustard. What happened to that last shipment that was delivered?
No, I came in about 2 months ago. You know how many jars of mustard we go through a week?
No, Brandon. I haven't a clue how to run this place. I've just been doing it for the last 20 years.
Look, Nat, if you want to fire me, go ahead, okay? Just stop biting my head off every time I open my mouth.
Hey, come on back. Come on. It's not you, believe me. I'm just going through a little rough patch.
Really? I hadn't noticed.
Thank you for remodeling this place just in time for the recession.
Nat, should I start looking for another job?
Nah, you're okay. You're part-time. I could be flexible with your hours. It's Willie I'm worried about.
Why? What's wrong with Willie?
He wants a raise. Can't blame him. He's worked here for 5 years. He's got a family to support, another on the way. But I'm practically carrying the guys in the kitchen as it is now.
Well, you're not gonna fire him, are you?
I don't want to. But I'm not made of money. Something's gotta give.
So we see pretty quickly what is going on with Nat. Money's tight.
You know?
We saw at the beginning of season 2, they did that whole summer remodel of the Peach Pit. And it's really cool looking, but like he said, if you do that just before a recession, you never know when a recession's gonna hit.
No, but I mean, we've seen that in recent times, you know, with
2020.
With 2020, there were a lot of businesses that had just done remodels or were in the middle of remodels when the pandemic hit and suffered for it. And so watching that episode after what's been going on recently and understanding what Nat's going through a little bit better, because so many small businesses are dealing with that.
Yeah.
But especially because he's got an employee who has been working there long enough for him that he should be getting a raise, but Nat can't afford it. Yeah,
and he's got a family and he works full time and it's just... That's hard.
But then as a business, he has to still make money to be able to pay the other employees and keep the lights on.
Yeah.
It's so difficult.
So we understand why Nat is incredibly stressed and grouchy.
Yeah. And it also occurred to me in this episode that Nat doesn't have an assistant manager. He doesn't have another... Nope.
Just him.
A supervisor, anybody who's there when he's not there, because he's just always there.
So he's got to be feeling burnt out as well.
Oh, yeah.
Because I'm sure in that kind of position, oftentimes the owner picks up extra hours because they can save money by doing that, not having to pay an employee.
Exactly.
Oof, difficult times.
Poor Nat. But I love that he's opening up to Brandon about it.
Yeah, me too. So then the scene changes over to the Walsh home. And Cindy's there telling Brandon that he is late to the preliminary meeting of the Teen Advisory Board.
Sounds very official.
Very official. And we turn over and we see this college-age girl talking to Jim and a group of girls. Brandon starts off being very reluctant about this, planning a mall thing.
Until he sees the girl running things, and then he's like, hello, cute who is girl. This?
That's always the way to get Brandon's attention.
Usually.
Oh, so this is the prodigal son.
Yeah, about 45 minutes later.
Hey, get held up to work, okay?
Oh, that's a likely story.
Hey, you better be nice to me or you're going to lose your token mail.
Does that mean you're going to help pass out questionnaires?
Do I have a choice?
Yes.
No. Oh, funny.
Yeah, I think that's pretty funny. Obviously, Brandon's like, do I have a choice? And she's like, oh, yeah. You can tell she's doing the girl thing of, yeah, you have a choice, and wanting him to choose to help her. Jim's like, no.
No.
The dad thing, no, you don't have a choice. You're doing this. You are my son. So this pretty girl's father is Dixon St. Clair. He's a super rich developer who's planning this new mall.
Your father's really a great guy, but I guess you already know that.
Yeah, he's okay for a dad. I just want to know one thing. How come your dad cares what a bunch of teenagers think you should put in a shopping mall?
As I asked him to.
Right away, when we're introduced to this girl, Marcy, I noticed a difference in the way that she addresses her father and has a relationship with her father versus Brandon.
And even how she addresses Jim. Mm.
Yes, she says, your father, my father, which is very formal of a way to address your dad. Whereas Brandon means like, yeah, he's okay for a dad.
Yeah, and he's talking about, why does your dad care?
And then, because I asked him to.
There's a definite difference in relationship status and lifestyle.
And we see it more throughout the episode.
For sure. So the next day at school, Brandon is trying to get Andrea to fill out the survey.
With not very little luck.
Yeah, Andrea's like, I don't want a mall. Why do I want a mall
And
there?
She's asking tons of questions about, like, have they done, like, a...
environmental impact survey and all this stuff, which, I mean, Andrea is bringing up some really good points. It's
yes,
like,
absolutely.
Have they checked all that? I don't know.
But poor Brandon is just like, can you just fill out the thing, please?
Brenda's trying to get Dylan to fill it out and Donna. And then Kelly's trying to get Steve and David. And everyone wants a coffee bar, apparently.
Everyone agrees that when they look over all of the things that they want in this mall, everyone seems to agree they want a coffee bar. There's a lot of variety in everything else.
Yeah. Everything, I don't remember what some of the other ones were.
Someone asked for like a bowling alley and a movie theater and an ice skating rink. And Donna wanted stores that she could use her credit card.
Okay, ice skating rinks in a mall, that was like the bomb diggity in the 90s.
Was it? Really?
When I grew up in Phoenix, we talked about that before on here. Mm-hmm. We had, I don't even know, this mall still stands. If anybody out there is in the Phoenix area, let me know. Is Metro Center still around? I know the ice rink went away years ago. But when I was little, there was an ice skating rink inside the mall.
Huh. I guess that must be why a lot of mall structures, when they have multiple levels, will have the upper level just be like an open looking down into the courtyard of like the middle section of a mall.
A lot of them that was kind of became the design.
Yeah.
But the ice skating was off to the side. Huh. It wasn't like in the middle of the whole mall.
Interesting.
It was like a wing of the mall.
Hmm.
And then after a while, the one in Metro Center went from the ice skating rink, and then I think it went to an arcade after that.
Okay.
The rink shut down, and they got rid of all the ice and turned it into an arcade. Then after that, it became a movie theater.
Interesting.
Where they kind of enclosed it in this big open space, now turned into a movie theater.
Hmm. It's funny how many malls actually did get built in the 80s and 90s mm-hmm. that are now either torn down or abandoned.
Yeah.
It's funny.
So Metro Center probably should have been abandoned a long time ago if it's not been abandoned. Or a massive facelift. I'm really hoping that we have a Phoenix listener out there who can inform Ooh. Me. So this college-age girl, Marcy, she shows up to the high school. And they're all like, Brandon. And immediately everyone's looking at him like, he's got a skirt to chase.
Yes, but it seems more like the skirt is chasing him.
Yes, which is a bit different.
A little odd.
So she invites the group to this frat sorority party that she's going to. And they're like, oh, yeah, we should ask Brandon. She's like, I'm going to take Brandon as my date.
So she's very bold, too.
Yes, very.
She's a college girl coming to, quote, check on the kids giving out the surveys. But she also is very open about the fact she's like, I'm really coming to ask Brandon to this party.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Bizarre. So back over the Peach Pit, Nat is reminiscing over the pictures again. And I guess his dad used to run the pit.
Mm-hmm.
And then he took it over 20 years ago. So it's really been in the family for a very long time.
And his dad seems to have ran it for a really long time himself, meeting a lot of famous people who came through the Peach Pit.
And I can imagine, so if Nat started running it by himself 20 years ago, Nat, I would guess, is mid-40s.
Yeah, I'd say mid-40s, so, maybe close to 50.
Yeah, so he was probably mid to late 20s when he took over the pit,
mm-hmm.
which means he probably worked there as a teenager and as a kid and grew up. Hung out there. And so these stories he's talking about, like one of the things I read on one of the 90210 websites, wiki websites or something, somebody was complaining about the names that Nat was dropping. He's only been running it for 20 years. Like, there's no way. I'm like, guys, he probably hung out there with his dad mm-hmm. before he started working there, before he took it over as the owner.
He probably got picked up from school and was sitting at the counter, you know, having a piece of pie while dad helped customers.
Imagine how much Dylan has spent time at the pit. Mm-hmm. If Nat's dad owned it, he was there even more. So so those critics out there who are complaining about that, you can just shove it because there's perfectly logical reason that Nat was there all that time.
Oh, yeah.
He grew up in the pit.
Definitely.
So over at this mall presentation thing, the High Point Center, Jim's company is very, very involved. And they're trying to go over, they have like this big model display of what they're going to have it look like. And very fancy,
schmancy. There's all kind of businessmen in suits milling about and socializing and shaking hands.
Yeah. But as Brandon is looking at this model, he suddenly notices where they plan to build this giant mall.
He notices the cross streets.
The presentation has been superb.
Doing good, Pops?
Well, we're getting there.
So, Jim, how does it feel to be on the ground floor of something so big?
Terrific. Brandon, I want you to meet Art Peters. He's the project manager for St. Clair.
Hey, how you doing? Dad, can I talk to you for a second?
Well, can you wait a minute? I want Art to meet your mother.
No, I really can't. Excuse us.
What's wrong?
The High Point Center crosses Olympic to Larrabee.
Yeah.
That's the corner the Peach Pit is on.
We'll talk about it at home.
You're going to tear it down, aren't they?
Brandon, we'll talk about it at home.
So that's where last week's teaser happened, was right after that. When they get home, and Brandon is just peeved, steaming mad.
Understandable, to be honest. He didn't mm-hmm. realize that he was working on a project or that his dad was working on a project to tear down his beloved workplace.
Yeah. Oof.
And Nat hasn't said anything to him. So he's kind of got this like, what is going on right now?
Nat hasn't said anything to him because remember in last week's teaser, Nat doesn't know yet.
Yeah, that's right. At this point,
we should listen to that one again.
Yeah.
Dad, you made your point. If there's nothing more to say, there's nothing more to say.
Brandon, you're not being fair.
Fair? Dad, you're tearing into pieces, but you might as well rip out Nat's heart. This has got nothing to do with fair.
Brandon, you're getting a little carried away here.
How could you not tell me about this?
I only found out about it a half hour before you did.
The address is all over the plans.
I never put it together.
Brandon, how's Dad supposed to know the address to the peach pit?
Thank you. At least one of my children is willing to give me the benefit of the doubt.
How can I give you the benefit of the doubt when you put a gag order on me?
That's not what I said. What I said is do not discuss this with Nat until I had a chance to talk to Art Peters first.
In other words, I have to sell Nat out so you can cover your butt.
Brandon, you apologize to your father right now.
I'm sorry.
You know, I do have some influence with these people. But it's not going to do any good if they find out my son gave confidential information to someone they may be in negotiations with.
Dad, you're talking like I'm some kind of industrial spy.
Brandon, millions of dollars are riding on this, not to mention my reputation.
But Dad, we're talking about Nat.
This is not a request, Brandon.
Fine. Good night.
Oh.
Oh, boy. I forgot how intense that was.
It was quite intense. And I can see where Jim is coming from because it is his job on the line.
Mm-hmm.
That if his son goes and blabs to Nat, who doesn't quite know yet, they're about to start negotiations with him.
Right.
It could really mess up a plan.
Absolutely, it could.
But I can also see where Brandon's coming from.
Because he goes to the Peach Pit all the time. He works there, obviously. Mm-hmm. And even when he's not working there, it's made pretty clear he and his friends just hang out there often.
Nat has become like a family member to them.
Exactly. And so he feels like Jim is almost betraying Nat.
Yeah.
And he doesn't want to join in on that betrayal.
Difficult times, for
Very
sure.
Very difficult situation to navigate. But I think it is important that this episode starts, it kind of shows Brandon choosing to not just do what his parents do.
Yeah, he's starting to kind of get that maturity point where he's thinking on his own.
Exactly.
So Brandon goes up to Brandon's room to talk, but Brandon is so steamed that he just doesn't want to have any part of the conversation.
Yeah, well, I don't want anything to do with the DSC Development Company or the Teen Advisory Board or any other part of it.
Including Marcy?
Yeah.
And then after that, she says something to him that kind of irked me a lot.
Yeah.
She says, you're so wrapped up in your own principles that you can't even have a good time.
Because he doesn't really want to go to this party that Mm-mm. Marcy's invited them to anymore.
And I'm sorry, but being wrapped up in your principles is a good thing.
I think it's important to have principles. Even if,
yeah,
as a person, you may disagree with someone else's principles, I respect a person who stands by those principles.
Absolutely.
Whatever they may be. It's like if you believe in something and you think that something is right or good, mm-hmm. stick to your guns.
It reminds me of when I was a teenager, and I got this kind of attitude from people all the time, because the type of family that I grew up in, I wasn't going to go out drinking and partying and sneaking out mm-hmm. at night and sleeping Same. Around. And I had people say, you know, you're just such a goody two-shoes, you can't even have a good time. It's like, just because I have standards does not mean I don't know how to have fun. My type of fun is just different than your type of fun, and that's okay. And so I just felt that was a very hurtful line that Brenda said to him, and it just shows how high the emotions are right now, even between these two.
Yeah, because there have been times where Brenda's been really wrapped up in her own principles on something.
Yeah.
And
for sure.
When people are in the middle of something, it's really hard to see another person's side.
Yeah.
That's why it's such a major effort and why there are so many phrases talking about seeing something from another person's perspective.
For sure. So then we're at the party. And apparently what Brenda said to him got to him and he decided to go, probably out of guilt and obligation.
Probably.
The theme of this party is, am I blue?
Don't know what kind of a theme that is, but
they show up and everybody is wearing blue. Everybody.
Everybody.
Except Brandon.
He comes in a red blazer.
Yeah.
Blazer jacket.
Like a sport coat. Like the
yeah.
old dude kind of sport coat.
Mm-hmm. But over top of like a black like t-shirt or shirt or something.
Yeah.
Like he's very much not doing the theme.
Yes. He's making a statement.
Yes. He was told the theme.
Yep.
Just choosing not to follow it. Very on brand.
I found that pretty funny. So as we look around the room, we see Steve and Kelly dancing, being all adorable.
Super cute. Just waiting for it to happen again.
And then Brenda and Dylan are talking.
If I ever go to college, remind me not to join the fraternity.
Yeah?
I don't want to go.
Come on, of course you do.
No, I don't. If I ever do go, definitely not going here.
Why are you so down on this place?
Remember that big modern building we walked past on the way in?
Yeah, it's the student center, right?
It's the McKay Student Center.
Your father went here?
No, my dad never went to college. But when he got him a check, they gave him a degree.
Well, at least some of his money went for something good.
He thought that the endowment would buy him some respectability. You don't know how lucky you are, Brandon. You and Brandon. I mean, your dad, he's a straight shooter. You can trust him. You can trust his motives. There are no strings attached.
So, I obviously have a very different perspective on the becoming more old-fashioned opinion that you have to go to college.
Mm-hmm.
It is becoming less and less of a thing now where it's less of you have to go to college. And it's more like figure out what you want to do. And if there's a degree that would help you do that, then go to college.
Yeah.
But otherwise, it's becoming a lot more common for people to just enter the workforce.
In the 90s, especially the early 90s like this, it was unheard of for somebody to not want to go to college.
Yeah.
I remember in high school, that was like the big thing. Where are you going to go to college? I'm like, I don't really know if I want to go to college. I was that kid. I was Dylan. And I got shamed and insulted and put down by teachers, by my counselors, by other students. It was just like, how dare you? It was like a slap in the face. I didn't want to go to college.
Honestly, even up until when I was a senior in high school and was starting to look, like at that point, I'd come around and had decided I had something I wanted to go for. I changed my mind and I didn't end up finishing. But for a long time in high school, I did actually share that opinion with people. And I was like, I don't know if there's anything I really want to go to college for.
Yeah.
So why am I going to spend thousands of dollars to go and get a degree that I may or may not ever use?
Yeah.
You know, especially with where my life is at now, I'm like, I never really needed to go to college. And it would have just been me going into a whole bunch of debt for no reason.
So let me tell you the story about my junior year. It was the first semester, early in the year, we had to write a career paper in my English class. We had to research what career path we wanted, and we had to write a research paper about this career. Well, I researched, no kidding, this is what I did, being a stay-at-home mom, being a wife and a mom.
Ooh.
And I did this full, like, massive, with all kinds of facts and figures, research paper about what it takes to properly be a wife and a mom and a stay-at-home mom.
It's a lot of work.
Do you know what my teacher said to me? He picks up the paper in front of the entire class, tells them that there's somebody in this class who's stupid enough, his words, exact words in front of the whole class, who's stupid enough to think that being a wife and a mom is a career. There's no money in that. There's no future in that. And you know who you are. You are failing this assignment. He gave me an F.
Wow, that is terrible.
And I put in a lot of research, a lot of background information.
Which for you is something that's really difficult
for
you.
Very difficult. I had a learning disability and a reading vision tracking problem.
Yeah, that nobody was acknowledging for you.
No, no, it was not happening. But I pushed through because I really felt so passionate about this. And so that was in 1993.
Yes.
So right about the same time this happened, I literally had a teacher call me stupid in front of the class and fail me because I didn't have a career and a college plan.
Yeah. See, I went to 1 year of college, but then by the end of it, I was failing most of my classes. I hated the degree that I was going for. And so I decided that I needed to quit, figure out what I did want to do, and maybe go back.
Yeah.
And when I told my college advisor that, he was very disheartening, which was heartbreaking because I'd grown really close with him over the last year. He'd been a really strong mentor for me for the entire year that I'd been there.
Yeah.
And then suddenly it was like there was a whole other person sitting across the table mm-hmm. from me. And he was telling me that I was going to fail. I was going to end up, he literally told me I was going to end up crawling back, begging the department to take me back. And he said that I would regret it for the rest of my life if I didn't finish college.
Do you regret it yet?
No.
Nope.
No, I'm more glad than ever that I quit.
And you know what? I don't regret being a stay-at-home mom.
No.
I got to be home with my kids and raise you guys myself. You guys weren't put in a daycare to be raised. I took care of you.
Yeah.
And yeah, there were a lot of sacrifices. Absolutely. But that's part of life. A career, part of life.
Yeah. I mean, when I was in preschool, the thing that I always, like from that early of a time, I always said that when they ask, what do you want to be when you grow up? The only thing I could consistently say was, I want to be a wife and I want to be a mom.
Yeah.
Those were really my Same. Wants out of life in general. Job was just kind of a thing to make money to provide for said family.
Yeah, that's how I always was and still am.
Yeah.
And now I get to be a wife every day. I still get to be a mom. You guys are just grown-ups and so things are different.
Mm-hmm.
And now my goal is I want to be a grandma.
Eventually.
I know. I'm just saying. I'm really excited, guys. So whenever my children, the married one and the soon-to-be married one, are at the points in their lives where they're ready to make me a grandma, I'll be so excited. As long as Abigail waits until after she's married.
Yes, of course.
Just saying.
But it was very interesting in this episode, but, you know, now that we are on 7 different bunny trails.
Yeah.
Fuck. Oh, yeah.
That's us.
But I do love that they acknowledge that not everybody wants to go to college. And yeah. that it was becoming a more common thought in the 90s, mm-hmm. just not popular yet.
I remember watching this episode at a friend's house, because obviously I couldn't watch it at mine.
Obviously.
90210 was evil. Anywho. And I remember, I have vivid memories of watching this at my friend Tammy's house and sitting there just like, wow, his friends are going to hate him. All I could think is like, poor Dylan. Everyone's going to hate him. He's going to get guilted into going to college. And I kept thinking of it from that perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And now I look back, I'm like, good for you, Dylan. Standing up for what you want.
Absolutely.
And it's your life. Live it the way you want to live it.
Definitely. Fitting for Dylan's character.
Very, very. So then Marcy takes Brandon upstairs and we're kind of getting this feeling like she's going to take him up there to go make out. It's this college party, blah, blah, blah. It's not to make out, but she wants to show him this planning room that she has, like all these dioramas from all these different shopping centers and places and
all these other building projects that her dad has done.
Yeah.
And she even describes it as little girls get dollhouses, but these were my dollhouse.
Yeah. So her dad would give her like that diorama we talked about earlier, those little, you know, overhead view of what the mall would look like. He gives her those when it's all said and done.
Yeah. And now she's going into college for, I think, architecture. And it just seems like she's doing everything that her dad wants her to do.
Yep. She's not living her life. She's living the life that her dad wants her to live.
Yes. She's living under daddy's shadow.
But they are pretty cool looking. They take up an entire room.
Yeah. Like a large room.
They must have a lot of money to be able to afford to have a whole room in this sorority that's just for her dollhouses, basically.
Yeah.
It's kind of strange.
It's a little odd.
But, of course, they do end up doing some kissing because it's Brandon and it's a pretty girl. It's what happens.
Yeah. I do think she initiates it, though.
Oh, yeah. She does.
She very much is coming on very strong.
So they do end up after they kiss for a little while. They have a deep conversation about her dad. And it's just, I don't know, it seemed like a very odd moment where it's like he's cranky, then he's like impressed by the stuff, then they're kissing, then they have a deep conversation. And then they decide they want to go somewhere to celebrate because the mall's going to happen.
Yes, because like the next day there's some sort of big meeting to go over the things that they found out in the teen advisory board and to start like really laying down the plans for making the mall.
But this is when Brandon starts getting a little sneaky.
A little sneaky.
So she wants to go somewhere to celebrate, and he's like, I know just the place. He takes her to the Peach Pit.
Oh, yeah.
So he's showing Marcy how to make a Peach Pit burger. So Nat's telling her about all the famous people in the past who have eaten there.
Mm-hmm.
And just some really neat reminiscing stuff.
Oh, yeah.
So this clip picks up in the Peach Pit when they arrive, and Brandon's back behind the grill, showing her how it's done.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you still like her burgers like that?
Marilyn Monroe.
You're kidding.
Yeah, she's the one that thought they had the Swiss. Go on, tell her, Ned. Well, she used to come in here all the time.
And I could always tell when she was starting her picture because she would always switch from fries to cottage cheese.
Wow. This place has, like, real history in it. Okay, who else used to come in here?
Montgomery Clift and Natalie Wood, Sal Mineo,
Steve McQueen.
Yeah, they're all gone, though.
They all used to eat right here, huh?
Yeah. Now we get the occasional celebrity stopping by, but business isn't what it used to be. Hey, Reuben, take these, please. I'm very proud of you. You're moving up in the world. Thanks.
Well, the food's still incredible.
Enjoy it while you can.
What do you mean?
Turn this place down.
Why?
Make room for High Point Center.
Oh. Wow, I had no idea.
That's okay, neither does Nat. According to my father, that's the way DSC Development wants it.
Oh. So, you basically brought me here just to make me feel bad. Is that it?
No, I thought maybe if you, you know, got a feeling for the place, you could...
I could what? I could talk to my father?
Yeah, something like that.
Exactly what do you expect him to do? It stopped 2 years of research and development dead in its tracks? Or better yet, have him call the bank and tell them he's called the whole thing off because he's tasted the world's greatest cheeseburger? I'm sorry, the real world doesn't work that way.
Well, why don't you tell me the way the real world does work then?
I thought I already did. Good night, Brandon.
Oh, goodness.
Oh, goodness. So, this is the moment where if this was a movie, she would have started feeling guilty and would have talked to her father.
I think she kind of did, but she went on the defense.
Yeah.
And because when she says, what'd you do, bring me here just to make me feel guilty, make me feel bad? And I'm like, yeah. Yeah, that's exactly what just happened. And you should feel bad. You should feel bad that somewhere historic like this,
mm-hmm.
that you and your dad are looking at ripping down.
To make a mall.
And I'm like, really? You? That just seems, of all the places, why would you pick? I know. It doesn't mean anything to them, though. That's the difference.
No, and they don't see the nostalgia. They don't mm-hmm. see the touches of care. They see just a place that can be torn down and put up a whole nother place.
Yeah.
I like right at the end there when he says, well, why don't you tell me how the real world works then? That's a hard phrase to get through.
Yeah, it is.
And she says, I thought I already did. And I realize she's said it multiple times throughout the episode.
Yeah.
But she says, it's not what you know, it's who you know. So her entire identity is wrapped up in the fact that her father is Dixon St. Clair.
Yep.
And that because of that name that she can drop anywhere, she can get things.
Yeah. And she can get things her way and have things happen the way she wants them to happen.
And the same thing goes for her father, that mm-hmm. if he wants to build a building here, then he is Dixon St. Clair and he can do it.
Ugh.
It's a very different perspective of the world that just, it upsets me, but at the same time...
It's real.
It's real. That's why we have building developments yeah. everywhere, you know?
Agreed.
And it's just heartbreaking that the Peach Pit is caught up in the middle of it.
But when you think about it, there's all kinds of, you know, businesses and homes and homesteads and lands this happens to. Mm-hmm. In the area we live, there's this back road area that used to be all farmland,
mm-hmm.
and now it's not.
It's slowly becoming more and more planned development communities.
And on one hand, you can be nostalgic and be like, man, those poor people had to sell out their farms and their land so that this apartment complex could get built, so this business could get built. But
that's more places for people to live, mm-hmm. more jobs for people to work, and more economy to bring people to the area.
So I can understand it both ways. Yeah. I can see that. Brandon just has a personal feeling about this.
Mm-hmm.
She has a business feeling about this.
Yeah, and that's what's the trouble.
Yep, that's the difference. So the next day, Brandon shows up at the Peach Pit. And Nat is in a suit, but he's just sitting there all depressed.
On the outside of the counter, too.
Yeah. He says he has a meeting about this High Point Center place. They want to buy him out and tear down the Peach Pit. And he's just really, really sad and he's torn. He doesn't know what to do. He doesn't know how to move forward. And it was a very short little moment, but it was very important and heartbreaking.
Because he's also saying, like, I don't even know if I can afford a lawyer if I wanted to fight this.
Yeah.
It's probably, you know, if I try to fight it, I might just end up making the peach pit go under because I had to pay the lawyer.
And so he's thinking about not even going to this meeting and just letting things happen and just resigned to his fate kind of attitude.
At one point, he even says that maybe I can get a job at McDonald's.
Oh, my heart melted when he said that. Like, you poor guy.
So heartbreaking.
So that night at the meeting, Brandon shows up in that red sport coat again.
It seems to be his challenging coat.
Yes. It's Jim like his armor. Jim is like super nervous as soon as he sees Brandon. He's just like, oh no, what's he doing? What's going to happen?
No.
Oh, this is going to be bad.
Oh no.
And Marcia also looks a little nervous.
As soon as Brandon walks in, there is a change to the energy in the room. And especially because he beelines over to go and politely introduce himself to Dixon St. Clair.
And so Marcy does introduce him to her father. And it's just kind of very casual. Brandon doesn't say anything at this point. It's just a very polite, respectful meeting. And then the meeting starts. Andrea, we see her off to the side observing the meeting. I don't remember if Brandon noticed her there.
No, he didn't.
But they made a point to show that we saw that she was there as moral support for Brandon, just to be there. I thought that was pretty neat.
Yes.
But that meeting, goodness sakes.
Ooh.
Fact, Marcy, correct me if I'm wrong. I don't think you found one teenager who had a negative response to our project.
No, not really.
Well, there may have been one, sir.
Excuse me?
Look, I know I'm out of order, but I worked on the student advisory board and starting to have a lot of second thoughts about it.
Excuse me, young man, but the community will have ample opportunity to enter their thoughts into the public record.
That's good. Somebody should take the time to listen to what the little guy has to say before you let the bulldozers roll in. Now, I've only lived in L.A. for just over a year, but I've been here long enough to see that somebody better make some kind of effort to save what little history this town has left.
I don't know what's going on here, Walsh, but control your son.
What kind of stunt do you think you're pulling in there?
Somebody had to stick up for Nat, Dad.
For heaven's sakes, Nat is a grown man. If he was so concerned about this, where the hell is he?
I'll tell you where he is. He's at the peach pit trying to figure out what the hell to do with the rest of his life. You said you were going to talk to him, Dad. You said you were going to take care of Nat.
I did.
Well, obviously you weren't very effective.
Brandon, you don't know a thing about business. Now, I did what I could. Art Peters said they'll pay him a fair price for his lease, and when High Point is built, they'll offer him a prime location. Now, what is wrong with that?
That could take years. What's he supposed to do in the meantime?
Brandon, would you get off your soapbox? Do you have any idea what you're doing to me?
I'm sorry, Dad. I'm sorry you got caught in the middle, but you know and I know that this hearing in here is just a formality. These people have the juice to railroad this thing right through, no matter what I say, no matter what anybody says. Then you told me to keep my mouth shut. You said you had everything under control. Well, I did, and you don't. It's a free country, and I'm not going to keep my mouth shut anymore.
Brandon, I respect your passion, and I respect your friendship with Nat. But you got to choose your battles in life, son.
I did.
So you can hear partway through the clip, it kind of goes from a normal room sound, like this echoey sound, because Jim and Brandon go out to like this really high open air lobby area.
Yeah.
And it's echoing out there because they're out in this lobby yelling at each other.
Oh my gosh. And as they're walking past people, because like it seems like the meeting kind of continued on. And then once there was a proper time to step out, then he and Brandon step out. And there's people standing outside of that room that as they're coming out and Jim's yelling, they're like looking over like, what on earth is happening?
Well, can you imagine being a person standing out there and suddenly you're like, whoa.
There's a man yelling at his teenage son.
Who's yelling back?
Oh boy, public drama. Let me get the popcorn. That would be me. But I really like seeing Brandon not necessarily stand up to his father, but make it clear that I'm acting separately from you.
Yeah.
He doesn't mean for his actions to reflect back on Jim. It just works out that this happens to be something that Jim's company is working on. But he would do this regardless of whether Jim was in charge.
For sure. That final line from each of them, you have to pick your battle.
You have to pick your battles, and Brandon says, I did.
Yeah.
What Jim was trying to say with that was pick the battle I'm asking you to pick.
And Brandon's like, I'm standing on my own two feet, picking my own battle.
That's what that phrase means, is you sometimes have to pick a battle. It is going to be tough, and not everyone's going to agree with you, but you have to stand your ground.
Yeah.
Whereas a lot of times people use it as more of a, hey, you probably shouldn't do that. You should do the thing I want you to choose.
Yeah, it's crazy. So the next day at school, Brandon walks in and he sees Andrea and the gang making Save the Pit signs.
Yeah.
He seems like so touched, but so shocked. He did not know this was happening.
No, because Nat's been kind of obviously keeping it on the down low, and so has Brandon.
So Andrea's at that meeting, and now we see why. She was there, and she got the whole gang rounded up for this. If we didn't see her at the meeting, it would be much more confusing. Like, how did they all know?
Another one of those instances where this show does a great job of very subtly planting people in places.
Yes.
To where you notice them, but yet you kind of, they're not a part of the scene.
Absolutely. And that was perfectly done in this moment.
Oh, yeah.
Because we did. We saw Andrea there, but we're like, well, that was weird. Why? I remember thinking at the time, why is Andrea there? And I thought it was just for moral support, but no.
No, she was coming to see what is really going down with this project. And then when she sees what's going down, she jumps in and grabs all the rest of the gang. Yep.
She rallies the troops. So David says he's going to broadcast live from the Peach Pit. So this afternoon, he plans to broadcast the protest live from the pit. I'm like, that takes a lot of special equipment.
Oh, yeah. And he's playing music that's in Nat's jukebox.
Which is really, really cool.
That is really cool.
And Andrea has a friend at the Times who's going to be there and write something about it. But then we see one person who is not happy. Brenda shows up and she pulls Brandon aside.
Look, it's bad enough that we don't see eye to eye on this. But did you have to go get all of our friends involved?
I didn't ask them, Brandon. They want to help Nat.
Well, what about Dad, Brandon? When I heard him and Mom talking, they really chewed him out after the hearing.
Guess he's really at it with me, huh?
You'd think so, wouldn't you? As angry as he was with you, do you know what I heard him tell Mom? That you reminded him of Grandpa.
So Brenda is not on board with this protest.
She's really not, which is kind of odd for the twins to be completely on opposite sides of something.
Yeah, it's really off-brand for Brenda.
Yeah.
Usually she is all about, you know, going with the flow of the group of kids.
Protest anything.
But she and her dad have become really close this year.
Oh, yeah.
We've talked about that the last few weeks, that they've developed a trust and a good relationship.
Absolutely. And so she's really sticking to her loyalty for Jim.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Brandon is more fighting for the right thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it's understandable that Jim can't. Mm-mm. Do the fighting.
He can't. It's his job. He really doesn't have that option.
And so Brenda's trying to help Brandon see that without understanding that it's not just Brandon rallying everybody.
Mm-mm.
She thinks that Brandon gathered everyone together.
Nope. That was all Andrea.
All Andrea.
So then Brandon goes to talk to Art Peters because he wants to try to clear things up that he feels bad after his conversation with Brenda, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And he wants to make sure that Art Peters knows that his dad had nothing to do with Brandon's decision.
Absolutely.
That it should not affect his dad's career or job, that Brandon was acting on his own. But he bumps into Marcy. They argue, and he says that you're so hung up on being daddy's little girl that you're afraid to be your own woman.
Yeah.
And that was a heavy line.
It was very heavy. And she seems obviously a little bit offended by what he says.
But she needed to hear it.
She needed to hear it because her entire identity right now is wrapped up in what her dad does, to the point where Brandon talking about the fact that her father's project is going to damage a historical place that he cares for.
Yeah.
The fact that he talks about that with her upsets her and makes her feel like it's a personal affront.
Yeah. Oof. Oof. So then over at the Peach Pit, Nat took their first offer. He thought it was a good enough deal. But Brandon seems really disappointed in him.
Yeah. And he sent all the kids coming to protest, tearing it down. He sent them all away.
Yeah. Sorry, guys. I agreed to the deal. He didn't sign anything yet, but he agreed to the deal. It was a verbal agreement at this point. So over the Walshes, Brandon and Jim are fighting about this adult decision that Nat made. And that's what Jim is saying. He's an adult. He made his own decision. And Brandon's really upset. Cindy. I just love Cindy so much.
Love her.
Poor Brandon.
Poor Brandon? What about me? In the past 24 hours, I've been accused of being Simon Legree, Ivan Boesky, and the Sheriff of Nottingham all rolled up into one.
Oh, Jim, it can't compare. I mean, he's lost a hero today.
Yeah, he thinks I let him down.
Jim, I was talking about Nat.
You're right. I've been replaced.
I was laughing so hard when I first saw that, the look on Jim's face.
He's so offended. Poor Brandon. What about me?
And then he's lost a hero today. And when he realizes she's not talking about him, she's talking about Nat.
He's like, great. He's like,
oh, great. I've been replaced. But it's true. There comes a point as a parent in our lives where our kids are going to look to somebody else as their hero, not us.
Mm-hmm.
And we have two options of that. We could either accept that we've raised this amazing person who recognizes other amazing people, or we could be hurt and upset and offended and be like, oh, how dare they replace me?
Yeah, I'm very grateful that you were always the type of parent, even when I was a teenager, that when I started developing strong relationships with older women that were mentors and friends, you know, youth leaders and stuff, you never felt offended that you weren't the only person I turned to anymore.
I might have purposefully orchestrated people in your life that I trusted to fill that role.
And some of those people are still dear friends of mine today.
Dixie?
Yeah.
You think I didn't orchestrate that and plan it because I wanted her to be an influence in your life?
Oh, yeah.
She was... your sister, Sherry?
Oh, yeah.
So there's this lady, goes to our church.
I love Sherry.
She was our youth pastor's wife. He's no longer our youth pastor, but mm-hmm. they're still married. Not meaning there was in that aspect. But to this day, Sherry still calls herself other mom to Abigail.
Yep.
They have a beautiful relationship. And it's special to me. I love it. When I have if I'm having a challenging moment, and throughout her teenage years, there were some, that I just couldn't figure out what to do, I would call Sherry and be like, hey, other mom, I need some help here. And I always knew that she would have my back. And Abigail looked up to her and respected her. Well, if I got all butthurt about it, think of those beautiful relationships that wouldn't happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think one person right now in my life that has become a really strong mentor that I highly respect and came to the church years ago and I respected her right from the beginning was Lindsay.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But, I mean, you were never the type of parent that... It was like, oh, you should talk to me first and nobody else.
Oh, gosh, no.
I had friends who their parents were like that, and it was so hard on them because that's not how life works.
No.
You don't only talk to one person about all your problems. Mm-mm. You have problems with this person, so you talk to a different person. You have something going on with that person, so you talk to your spouse, you know?
Yeah.
You have a lot of people in your life, and it's healthy to surround yourself with people who...
I agree.
Multiple people who can advise you on things.
Yep, I wholeheartedly agree. But then after this, Cindy does the most perfectly Cindy thing possible.
Mm-hmm.
She apparently calls the Peach Pit to order some pies and sends Jim to pick them up.
Mm-hmm.
And Nat asks Jim for a favor while he's there. And it was just...
Oh, yeah.
So the scene starts off with Nat and Jim talking. And then it ends with Jim on the phone.
In the phone booth at the Peach Pit.
Yep.
Hey, would you do me a favor?
Sure. Anything, you name it.
Well, I got these papers from the St. Clair people. I gave them to my attorney, but I was just wondering if you could take a look at them.
Let me see them. This is what they offered you?
I asked for a favor on this one, Arden. What do? You lowball him.
Your friend Beseechu accepted our first offer. What was I supposed to do? Tell him that he should be asking for more?
Besides, it might be a moot point anyway.
What are you talking about?
Haven't you checked your voicemail?
Well, not since I left the office.
You better come in, Jim. We have a lot to talk about.
So Jim asks his boss and the people for this, do this guy a favor. He's a friend of ours. Treat him right. And then they lowball him.
Yeah. And you know what? That phone call right there and how quickly he seemed to need to make that phone call.
Yeah.
Shows what Dylan was talking about earlier with Brenda, that you're lucky that your dad is such a straight shooter. You can trust his intentions and he has good morals.
Yep. It's so true.
He does. It's so true. Because as soon as he sees that Nat was getting cheated, he was immediately like, uh-uh, that is not happening.
You are not cheating Nat.
No.
And he goes into action. But apparently there's something wrong anyways.
He gets called into the office.
So we don't see right away what happens there. Then we're back over at the Walsh's, and Brenda is telling Brandon about what happens, that the money fell through for High Point Center. And she's worried about Dad. Is he going to lose his job because of this?
She's telling Brandon to glum up a little bit before you go in there to talk to him.
Yeah.
Don't look so happy.
But Jim tells Brandon that he warned them that there was a chance it might not go through.
Yeah.
As the numbers guy, that's his job. And he calls himself a bean counter at one point. And it's his job to be like, hey, this might not go through. The money might fall through. But they never listen. They're all about the dream and this, it's going to work, it's going to work, positivity kind of thing.
They just want him to crunch the numbers and make them look good.
Yeah, but they did not listen to him, and the money fell through. And Brandon asks if Nat knows about this yet. And Jim says, no, not yet. They give each other this sly look. Are you thinking what I'm thinking?
Brandon. What are you doing here?
Well, I thought I'd come by and help you clean the place out.
Thanks, pal. I didn't think I'd get to see you here again.
What?
Kidding and missed the fire sale? Hey, did you call the restaurant supply company? You could probably get at least 50 cents on the dollar for most of this stuff. That's not a bad idea.
Oh, hey, you know, this may be a real collectible item someday. You mind if I keep one of these, Ned?
Yeah, sure. Help yourself. Brandon, you know, I never put this place up for sale. They came to me.
I know.
Everybody owes her that pot of gold at the end of the rainbow, but I never asked for this. You gotta know that.
You know what you ought to do, Ned? You ought to have an auction. You know, get an auctioneer. You could probably sell most of this stuff. Probably get top dollar for it, too.
You're really getting a good head for business.
I know exactly what you should do with these pictures on the wall. You should donate them to the county museum. That way you get a huge tax break, especially for the autograph one of Steve McQueen.
Brandon, what's gotten into you? You can't put a price on something like that.
Oh, come on, Ned. Everything has its price.
I guess I deserve that one, huh?
Ned.
It's okay. I've been a heel. I mean, I sold your kids out for short money. You must think I'm disgusting. I don't blame you.
Ned.
Let me get it off my chest, okay? I really hate myself for what I...
Nat! The deal fell through. They are building the High Point Center.
What?
You heard me. No High Point Center.
You're kidding.
No! The Peach Pit's open for business, pal.
That's the best news I ever heard in my life, and I'm never gonna forget who I heard it from. Oh! Nothing could possibly make me happier.
You want to bet?
Hey, guys, come on in. It's showtime.
Dad, I'm so glad things worked out for you. All right. Hey, give him some loving.
All right.
Great.
Oh, thanks.
Oh, congratulations, Ned. Couldn't get rid of you.
Thanks, Jim.
Hey, fire some. What do I got to do? Get a little service around here, huh?
Willie, fire up that grill.
All right.
So even though Hannah was panicked and freaked out, guess what? The Peach Pit is staying.
The Peach Pit is fine. I loved that little tender moment between Nat and Brandon.
Yeah.
And that I'm never going to forget who I heard this good news from.
Aww.
He has a different kind of relationship with Brandon, and this episode really showed that.
It did. Okie dokie, Hannibal. Reactions, opinions,
I really, rating. Really, really loved this episode. It flowed really well. I think the characters had some very interesting dynamics and interesting growths throughout. And we had an actually intriguing side character that I wasn't just sitting there mad that Brandon was chasing a skirt.
Because he wasn't.
Because he wasn't.
The skirt was chasing him.
Exactly. And she was also an interesting character. I loved the whole premise for this episode and the conclusion. This one's my first 10 for the season.
What? I think. 10 peaches?
This is a 10 peaches for me.
Go Hannah.
Because I loved how well crafted the story was. And the acting was incredible. And I just absolutely loved it.
Nice. Very cool.
Yeah. What about you, Mom?
I also really, really liked it. I loved, like you were saying, how well it flowed. Mm-hmm. We've talked before about so many times these episodes, it feels like we're watching a tennis match back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And I'm like, I'm getting whiplash from trying to keep up with the storyline. Mm-hmm. This one flowed so beautifully. It was very well written. I'm actually rather sad that these writers never wrote another 90210 episode again.
Right?
Like, guys, you did a really good job.
I need to know what other stuff they've written so I can see if all of their content's this good.
There's this thing called IMDb. You should look them up.
I know. I might just have to.
So I do. I really liked this episode. It's not quite a 10 for me.
Okay.
Because I also know it's coming. Had I not known it was coming, maybe it'd be up that far. But it's a 9.0 for me.
Nice. That's still pretty high.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because we can never figure out how to rate this show lower because it's just too good.
There's been a couple episodes that were like, that's a 5.
Yeah.
But this one's a good one. This was a good one.
Yeah, absolutely this was.
All right, so now I'm going to play what I recorded of Hannah listening to the teaser.
Huh.
Are you ready for a teaser for next week's episode, Annabelle?
I'm very ready for a teaser for next week.
Episode 25, Meeting Mr. Pony.
Okay.
So what'd you forget this time? Andrea.
You do what I tell you, and you won't get hurt. Do you understand? Do you understand?
Put the gun down, okay?
Sammy, do you understand me, do you?
Yes.
Is there anyone else here? Answer me!
Yes.
Where?
Out back.
You scream. You die. Go up and register. Hurry up!
Okay, it's been cool, all right?
Hurry up!
Next door! I'm not! Fix up time!
Well, I guess I'll just have to open it.
No!
Good girl. Put the money in the bag.
The drama is ramping up.
Oh, poor darling. I'm just in shock.
You guys should have seen her face the whole time. Literally, like, jaw dropped, quite literally, hand over the mouth, eyes as wide as saucers.
Poor Brenda.
We'll see you guys next time right here on
Back to the Peach Pit.
Oh, poor Anna. I think we should redo our ending.
I think so. I think we should include my sad little outro, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. It shows my full emotions of like,
Yep, that was Hannah's response to that teaser.
Terrified about what I was then about to witness.
What was funny, guys, is as soon as I played that teaser and we finished recording that, and I hit stop at the end of it, she's like, we're watching this now, right? She stayed that night. We watched it that night.
Yeah, because I was like, there's no way you're about to show me that clip and then expect me to wait and not watch the episode immediately. I was panicking hard, guys.
Well, it wasn't even... We say show clip, but it's actually just listen to it.
Yeah.
Because you couldn't even see what was going on. Oh, yeah. You could just hear.
Just hearing poor Brenda panic, and I was freaking out.
It was pretty funny.
Oh, goodness. Poor girl.
But she survived watching the episode, and now we will next time be talking about that episode right here on...
Back to the Peach Pit.
Thanks to Pixabay.com for their royalty-free music, where we found our theme song by the Caffeine Creek Band.
Hey guys, like to take this opportunity and remind you where you can find us online. On Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, we are Back to the Peach Pit. And if you happen to be listening on Apple Podcasts, we would really appreciate some rate and reviews from you guys, because those help other listeners to find us, so we greatly appreciate that. And we look forward to hearing your thoughts on this week's episode.